name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for thee. Exercise all thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of thy church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 129, The Real Presence. We have an image here of the Blessed Sacrament. The top of the image says, "This is my body, this is my blood." We have several smaller images in this. I'll read the caption first, and we can go back and look at the numbers. In the Holy Eucharist, our Lord is present, whole and entire, body, blood, soul, and divinity. When the Blessed Sacrament is reserved in the tabernacle, that's image 5, a sanctuary lamp, image 6, is kept burning before it. And so it was pointed out before we began this, that the other numbers are not mentioned there. But in the center, there's a chalice, and over the chalice is a host, and they both show an image of Jesus Christ there, indicating that Jesus is really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. To the left, we have a host that is numbered number 1, and it has an image of Christ in there, showing us that Christ is whole and entire in the Holy Eucharist there. Image number 2 is, I think, an image of the same host broken in 2. And you see an image of Christ on each piece. It's not that Christ has been divided or the image is broken. There are now 2 images, so each particle of the Blessed Sacrament contains Christ whole and complete. This is truly his body and his blood. Image number 3 is a bread box there showing the wheat and a wheaten host, because the proper matter for the Holy Eucharist is unleavened bread made from pure wheat. And number 4 shows us 2 cruets with some grapes nearby, indicating that the proper form for the blood of Christ consecration is wine, grape wine, unadulterated grape wine. And then in the bottom we see the tabernacle, the sanctuary lamp, and the bell, I guess, to announce the beginning of Mass, the consecration, etc. Right, and I think that describes that image the best I can. Okay, so this is again Lesson 129, The Real Presence. First question, when did Christ give his priests the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood? Christ gave his priests the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood when he made the apostles priests at the Last Supper by saying to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." Thus he commanded them and their successors to renew till the end of time what he had just performed. This change of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ continues to be made in the Church by Jesus Christ through his priest. How do priests exercise their power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ? Priests exercise their power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ by repeating at the consecration of the Mass the words of Christ, "This is my body, this is my blood." Over the bread are pronounced the words, "Hoc est enim corpus meum," for this is my body. Over the wine are pronounced the words, "Hic est enim calix sanguinis mei," for this is the chalice of my blood. At Mass, at the words of consecration, transubstantiation takes place. That is, the entire substance of the bread and wine is changed into our Lord's body and blood. After the words of consecration, there is no longer any bread or wine on the altar, for they have been changed into Christ's body and blood. If it be asked how transubstantiation can possibly be effected, we reply, by the almighty power of God. The appearances of bread and wine remain. The consecrated host continues to look like bread, taste and feels like bread, but it is not bread, for the entire substance of bread is changed into Christ's body. The same thing is true of the consecrated chalice, which continues to look, smell, and taste like wine, but there is no more wine, only Christ's blood. If Jesus Christ, whole and entire, both under the appearances of bread and under the appearances of wine, I think that should say is instead of if. My book has a misprint there. So is Jesus Christ whole and entire, both under the appearances of bread and under the appearances of wine? Jesus Christ is whole and entire under both the appearances of bread and under the appearances of wine. In the Holy Eucharist, Christ is present, holy, body, blood, soul, and divinity. A little child preparing for her first Holy Communion was asked the difference between a crucifix and the Blessed Sacrament. Why, the innocent child answered, "The crucifix looks like our Lord, but it is not He. The Blessed Sacrament does not look like our Lord, but it is He Himself." Christ is whole and entire under the appearances of bread and wine. As Christ's body is a living body, and a living body has blood, so Christ's blood is there wherever His body is. Where Christ's living body and blood are, there also must be His soul, for the body and blood cannot live without the soul. And where Christ's soul is, there also is His divinity, which cannot be separated from His humanity. Christ is whole and entire in each part of the host and in each drop of the chalice. When the host is broken, the body of Christ is not broken, but He exists whole and entire in each fragment. In a similar way, even when we break a mirror into many pieces, each piece reflects our face. Christ's body and blood are present in the consecrated species as long as the appearances of bread and wine remain. When therefore we receive Holy Communion, we bear within us, as long as the appearances of bread remain, the living Christ, Son of God. Why does Christ give us His own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist? Christ gives us His own body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, one to be offered as a sacrifice commemorating and renewing the sacrifice of the cross. Quote, "For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes." From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. In the Mass, Jesus offers Himself as a victim to His Heavenly Father to be received in Holy Communion. Quote, "I am the bread of life. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. He who eats Me, he also shall live because of Me." St. John chapter 6, verse 48, 56, and 58. The Holy Eucharist is food to nourish the soul. By this food, we are united to Christ, who nourishes us with His divine life, sanctifying grace, and all virtues increase in our souls. Our evil inclinations are lessened. The Holy Eucharist is a pledge of everlasting life. Quote, "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Holy Communion needs the Mass to supply the consecrated species. For this reason, Mass and Communion are inseparable. To remain ever on our altars as a proof of His love and to be worshipped by us. Quote, "Remain with us, Lord, for with Thee is the fountain of life." From Psalm 35:10. Another quote, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." St. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We say we love Jesus. Do we prove our love? When we have a dear friend, we are ever eager to be in his presence? Do we show Jesus the same loving tenderness, or are we so forgetful of him that we go to see him only once a week? Since Christ's real presence is in the Eucharist, what honor are we bound to render it? We are bound to render the Holy Eucharist the same adoration and honor due to God himself. It is a most wonderful privilege to have Christ actually present every moment of the day and night. When the Blessed Sacrament is in the tabernacle, it is covered with a curtain or veil, and a sanctuary lamp is kept burning before it. When we enter or leave the church, we should genuflect on the right knee towards the tabernacle as a sign of adoration. This is why the tabernacle is the most precious part of a church. Special care should be taken to keep the altar linen clean. In most parishes, there are altar societies of women who devote part of their time to the care of altar linen, vestments, etc. The Holy Father gives us good example. The chapel of the Blessed Sacrament in the Basilica of St. Peter's is precious, with its unique tabernacle. Dozens of vigil lights burn day and night before our Lord as prayers for his people. We can show Jesus our love and gratitude by every day paying him a visit in the Blessed Sacrament, by attending benediction, by hearing Holy Mass and receiving Holy Communion, by spending an hour of adoration when the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, and by other devotions. When we pass by a church where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved, we should bow our heads as a sign of respect and say a short aspiration in honor of our Lord. Men should raise their hats. If we are not ill-bred enough to pass by a friend without a word or gesture of greeting, shall we be thus ill-bred towards our Lord? Okay, that completes the reading. Do we have any questions or comments? I don't really know what else to add to this, because this is something that is very important, and we either hear about it in our sermons or in our catechism lessons over and over again. I don't think we can emphasize it enough that Christ is really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, and he is offering himself as a sacrifice in the Mass to his Heavenly Father on our behalf. And we should bring to the Mass our own offering, if you will. And that's why at the offertory there is a collection where we put in part of our earnings to support the church. But this is also an offering to God. And we are uniting our offering, our sacrifice with Christ. And by combining our sacrifice with Christ's sacrifice, it makes our sacrifice acceptable to God. And so Christ is really and truly present there. He is truly offering himself to his Heavenly Father. We try to emphasize to the children, and hopefully the adults already know, our Lord's true presence and our mannerisms, the way we act, how our behavior in church. So we should know how to behave in church, how to be respectful, how to genuflect, how to sit up straight. We are not there to lounge around or to yawn and stretch. It's not an exercise parlor or gym. It's not our bedroom. It's not a couch at home. Talking. Yes, we don't sit around talking to our neighbors. We keep our lips closed, but we are speaking in our hearts and our minds to Christ. He is the one we should be addressing. There's plenty of time outside of church for us to speak to our neighbors and friends, relatives, whoever it may be. And then, of course, there's always the distraction at Mass. Dismiss the distraction and focus upon the Mass and our prayers there. And I find it quite entertaining to hear so many people tell me that, you know, because these other people are misbehaving in church, that they are distracted. And I says, oh, yes, if you were like the saints, they were not distracted by any of this. They were so focused on being with our Lord. But I think too often the corrections become a bigger distraction than the original distraction. You know, the children not behaving is a little thing compared, I think, to the adults shaking their finger and saying, shh, shh, and making a big scene. And I find that more distracting than the child crying or whining, whatever it may be. I can kind of excuse the child. They will outgrow that if we continue working with them. But the adult should already know better. And I think that is a bigger problem. And if we were really focused on our Lord, we wouldn't notice what other people are doing. For watching and praying as we ought to be, the whole world around us becomes dead to us. And so that learning to behave in church, and especially at the sacrifice of the Mass, is very important. But I think that behavior is hinged on the fact that we are really and truly in the presence of God. We are church there, especially at the time of Mass, becomes the stable of Bethlehem, where the shepherds came to visit our Lord. The altar, the sacrifice of the Mass, is really, we are there present with our Lord at the sacrifice of Calvary. We are there with our Lord in heaven, as Christ is the King, as he's sitting on his throne. It is the same God, the same King, and we are in his presence, and our behavior should be in concord, if you will, with the presence that we are in and with our faith. And I think a lot of that, it's not so much enforced as we must give the example. And I think if the adults would be more pious and reverent, the children would soon gather, oh, this place is important. This is not a place of partying or running around. And I know to many children it is boring, but it is boring because they do not yet understand where they are and what they're doing. I can even recall as a young child hearing, you know, in heaven, the saints and the angels gather around the throne of God, and they keep repeating over and over, holy, holy, holy. And to my childish mind, that sounds very boring. That's all there is? Why do you want to go there? I want to do something else. That might be nice for a little while, but you know, everything gets old. It's boring. And too often, the Mass and everything that we do, the rosary is boring, all these things are boring because we don't really understand. And we have not yet really comprehended that Christ is God, and that the Holy Eucharist is Christ, and the Holy Eucharist is God, and therefore we bow, we worship, we adore Christ in the Holy Eucharist. No questions, comments, then we will end with the prayer, or the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos et mania semper. Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.